Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. He is good. Amen. He is good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, I believe God gave me a word for you today. Would you like to hear it? We might be here till 3. Is that okay? There's water, and if you're thirsty, there's orange juice in there too. Give you some sugar. Praise God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, in thanksgiving and praise, Father. We come before you this morning, giving you all that we have, Father. And Father, we just ask the Holy Spirit to flow through this place and open our hearts and minds to your word, Father. And all these things, we thank you for what you do to us and for what you give us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said, amen. I'd like to read a story for you to start from the book of Nehemiah. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to Nehemiah. When you get to Nehemiah, say amen. And I think we'll have it on the board for you at some point in time. But you know, God really when we take the time to listen, God really speaks to you. Amen. When we take the time to get out of our own funk and do whatever it is we think we should do, when we get out of that, God will speak to you and you will hear. Amen? So, to begin today, we're going to read from the chapter 8 of Nehemiah. And I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole thing and you can follow along. And we're reading from Nehemiah chapter 8 from the Amplified Version of the Bible. It says, then all the people gathered together as one man at the open square in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in front of the open square, which was in front of the water gate. From early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, and those who could understand. And all the people listened carefully to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a large wooden platform, which they had constructed for this purpose. And beside him on the platform stood, I'll let you read those names. I had them in my mind earlier today, but anyway, you can read those people, right? So they were by him, right? Verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above them. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. And they knelt down and worshiped the Lord with their faces toward the ground. Also, all those people and the Levites explained the law to the people. And the people remained in their places, and so they read from the book of the law, translating and explaining it so that the people understood the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then Ezra said to them, go your way, eat the rich festival food, drink the sweet drink, and send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be worried, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. Now, as Ezra said to them, go your way, eat of the rich festival food, drink of a sweet drink, and send portions to him, and for this day is a holy day, and do not be worried, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many of you heard that before? The joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm pretty sure most of us have heard that. So this story of Nehemiah is that of, you know, it comes down to the Israelites, right? And so he comes to them, and the people who, and these Israelites, there are people who have really not had a home for some time, right? There are people who have been enslaved, and there are people who have been wandering, and in all of that, I truly believe that there are people who have lost their identity and who they were. They've been pushed here and pushed there and gone this way and that way, and They lost their identity, and he comes to them to help restore something. He helps them restore a wall. He helps them restore to have a home. He helps them to restore their identity as a people again. I encourage you to read the whole book of Nehemiah. It reads like a novel. It's pretty good. It's interesting. But he comes to them to help restore. And when they're finished with the wall, they read then from the book of Moses, right? The law of Moses. They read then from the law of Moses and the first five books of the Bible that some people call it the Torah. Some people call it the Pentateuch. I think I said that right. And so here, I want to focus here real quick on this last verse 9 and 10 and understand that here in this story at the end, the people were weeping as they were being read the book of the law. They were weeping while it was being read. And I have a theory that I think that while they were listening to the book of the law, they were reminded of some things. As when we read the book, we are reminded of some things that might happen in our lives. When they were read the book of the law, they were probably reminded of things that they had in their life. And so I think that when they were listening to Ezra read the word, they were reminded of how there was a creation. They were reminded of the fall. They were reminded that their ancestors were enslaved without a home. They were reminded that they were set free. They were reminded of the promises that God gave them and how God came through. They would have then been reminded then also of God's warnings. And they would have reminded of, the book of Moses would have reminded them of God's warnings and then the anger that God had on their disobedience. And then the results of their disobedience. So I think that's why they were weeping. If I read a book that reminded me of all the bad things that I did and reminded me of the good and the bad and the ups and the downs and everything, I might weep too. Because it's a reminder of the things that we went through. Amen? So then I think that all of that, it dawned on them. All of a sudden, I think the light bulb went off on these guys that they haven't been keeping their part of the bargain, that they haven't been keeping their part of the agreement or their part of the covenant. And so they wept. They're weeping. So if we read the story of Nehemiah, I mean, the Israelites come from, bondage and they're enslaved. They come into a new place and they need to be rebuild a wall. They need to become a new people again. And here's Nehemiah to come and help them, right? So they rebuild the wall and they have a new home. They have a brand new people. And then Ezra reads the law and then they're reminded of the things that they went through. They have turned into a people. The Israelites have turned into a people who could not even be recognized of a people who belong to the great I Am. So they went on mourning and weeping and wallowing in their sinful past. And I believe sometimes we do that. Amen? Yeah. We think about our past and our sinful past and the things that we do and we dwell on that. We weep and we mourn that, woe is me and I used to be like this and I can't believe that and God, But Nehemiah comes and tells them this, and Nehemiah comes on the scene as the governor and as the leader and says, hey, look, today is a holy day. Amen? This is a day to celebrate and be joyful. And the people should rejoice and be joyful, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what he was talking about. That's what they're there for. Amen? And as you read on, they went into a celebration. As you read on in chapter 9 and all that, they went into a celebration because here's what happened in this particular time. This was a time that God set up called the Feast of Booths, right? Or what they called the Feast of Tabernacle, right? And so this is the time that the Feast of the Ingathering. This was the time, and there was great rejoicing and great celebration. This was also known to the Israelites as the feast, like the party, like the time to celebrate. This was the feast of feasts. So this was a festival where it was time to be joyful in remembering that all of your sacrifices and all of your offerings, that your sins were forgiven. This was the feast that they could be joyful in knowing that their sins were forgiven. And so Nehemiah comes and says, hey, quit weeping, quit mourning, and party. Be joyful. Why? Because this is the festival and the time that you need to be joyful because your sins are forgiven. Amen? Yes. Amen. So I'm reading this story and I'm getting excited. I'm getting joyful because these guys were weeping and mourning for their sins. And this leader comes and says, hey, wait. You should be joyful and rejoicing because you know that your sins are forgiven. Well, what do we know? Jesus came on the cross and he died on the cross, right? And he died to do what? Forgive us of our sins. So this day, as every day, we should be rejoicing. Amen? We should be rejoicing because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? And so I like to play on words and I like to play with words and I like to look it up, you know. So I look at rejoice and what does rejoice mean? And I thought I knew what rejoice means, but rejoice means this. Rejoice means to feel joy or great delight. Now I'm going to play with this, right? So I look up delight, right? And so in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, I look at the Merriam-Webster because Mr. Webster was a Christian. And so the rejoice is to feel joy or great delight. And then delight is the source of great joy. All right. Okay. So I get to delight in my God because he's the source of my joy. And I get to rejoice because I feel joyful. Amen. And so joy is then the emotion that is evoked by well-being, success, good fortune, being glad and delight and rejoicing and being joyful. That's the emotion that gets stirred up when I know and I rejoice in the delight of my God. And that's what the people here, the Israelites, were doing. They got the remembrance that their God saved them, that their God pulled them out of bondage, that their God did all these things, that their God promised this and promised that and came through. And so now that day was a time to rejoice. Amen. That day was a time to delight in their God. Amen. What did they feel great to delight about? What invoked their joyfulness? What made them have joy? They finally took their eyes off themselves and their sin and looked up to God and said thank you and rejoiced and delighted in what God has done for them and for what God is doing for them. Amen. They put their eyes on God. They put their eyes, they looked up to God, and it made them come alive. It made them come alive in the sense that they were celebrated. How many of us have ever been joyful before? Only a couple of you. All right. Well, I'll pray. All right. But just like these people, you have been saved. You have been forgiven. Woo! Let's be joyful. It was God who created, amen? It was God who set the captives free. It was God who promised. It was God who blessed. It was God who gave commandments. It was God who established a covenant. It was God who dealt justice. It was God who reconciled. It was God who redeemed. It was God who sent Jesus. It was God who walked among us. It was God who showed us how to live. It was God who saved. It was God who descended like a dove. It was God who taught. It was God who died. It was God who raised from the dead. It was God who lives inside of you. This is the God we're talking about. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we can be joyful about. Amen? This is the God that we get to praise. This is the God that we get to live for. It's God who lives inside of you, and it's God who gives you your gifts and your talents, and it's God who redeems you, and it's God who redeems the nation, and it's God who redeems the souls. This is the God we're talking about. We need to be joyful because this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we say that we love. This is the God that we say we're a part of. This is the God that we say we believe in. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the God. You put your eyes on God and what he has done. You put your eyes on God and what he's doing. You can't help but become filled with joy. You can't help but become glad. You can't help but become praiseworthy. You can't help but just want to dance and want to sing and want to shout. You can't help it because you're full of this joy. You're full of this whatever it is. That, how many of you ever got something that you really, really wanted? Anybody ever danced because of that? Anybody ever just did a little? Anybody ever been there before? Right? You got something that you really, really wanted. God answered a prayer that you really, really wanted. He's just, yes! Thank you, Jesus. How many have kids or have brothers or sisters that got something they really wanted? What do? They dance around and shout for joy. Woo! Noah does it all the time. Right? The son Noah does it all the time. You want some marshmallows? Marshmallows! Marshmallows! He does it all the time. Why? Because he knows that was something that he wanted and daddy gave it to him. And he was excited about it. Well, what did our daddy give us? What did our daddy give us? Amen. Praise God. Amen. We put our eyes on God and you can't help but get joyful. You can't help but stir up that gladness and that rejoice and that praise and that honor. You can't help but feel it coming on. You can't help but want to dance. You can't help but want to dance a jig. I don't know how to dance, but I mean, come on now. I know that some of you are wanting to get up and dance a little bit. Amen. It's okay. We're free. We're free. Right. We're free. If dancing and shouting and getting excited is an expression called joy, then I want to express my joy to my Father. I want to. I don't care what you think. Right. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I want to express my joy. Why? Because that's my daddy and he gave me everything that I needed. He gave me my salvation. He gave me that. That's my Abba Father. And an Abba Father, in some translations, it translates to daddy, 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 daddy. That's my daddy. It's not my dad. It's my daddy. That intimate word that you use, my daddy, daddy. I'm going to read through some scriptures, and I want you to follow along with me. Some scriptures about joy and why we should have joy. And there's quite a number of them, but and if in through this we get excited, you get excited and you want to dance for joy, then by all means, please do so. It's your daddy. Amen. You're free. You're free. What you want to do, how you want to express your love of your daddy, it's up to you. Don't let anybody make you feel like you can't dance for joy. Don't let anybody make you feel like you can't shout for joy. Even in church, don't let anybody think and get real religious and say you got to be quiet. If I'm excited and I'm joyful for my God, I'm going to shout for joy. Amen. I'm going to say, hey, yes, Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah. I'm going to dance a jig if I want to dance a jig. Why? Because that's my daddy. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 30. Now, in the times where I'm going to read some things and then we're going to go. So here's a scripture, in those times when we have tears falling, in those times when we feel like we aren't going to make it through, we have Psalms 30 here. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favors for a lifetime. Weeping may endure the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Amen? Woo! In Psalm 73:26, it says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God... I love that, but God. It just reminds me of Eric, me and his dad, Jason, Pastor Jason. He loves, but God. He's got that deep, but God. But God is the rock and strength of my heart and my portion forever. My heart and flesh may fail, but God is the rock and my firm strength. Amen? With this kind of assurance, you would think that it's impossible for anything to get worse. But if such a time comes, we should know that we still have breath and let us praise him. Job 27:3, we all know the story of Job, right? Job got everything wiped away from him, but he did not curse God. He praised God. So he says this, as long as my life is within me and the breath of God is still in my nostrils, we know what Job did. He praised the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He gave it all to the Lord. Amen? Or, you know, he got a raw deal, but he praised the Lord. Amen? The joy of the Lord was his strength. Amen? Or, you know, when we get into darkness and the waves are crashing all around us, I want to read a long scripture here in Matthew 14. When the waves are crashing down and it's dark in the morning, you know, it says this in Matthew 14, 22 for 33. It's the story of the disciples on the boat, and it says, immediately he directed the disciples to get on the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, the Sea of Galilee. And while he sent the crowds away, after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was already a long distance from land, tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's around 3 o'clock to 6 a.m., and some people would tell you that that's the darkest time of night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. So while they're getting battered, and when the waves and the winds were against them, in the darkest time of that night, in the darkest time, while the winds are bashing on them, while the waves are bashing down on them, Jesus comes walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, oh, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately he spoke to them saying, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. So what did Peter do? We all know. Peter replied to him, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter came out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. But when he saw the effects of the wind, he saw the waves crashing, he saw the darkness of night, he was frightened and he began to sink. But he cried out. So in the darkness night, and the waves are crashing down, and all this stuff, Jesus is there. All we got to do is cry out, Jesus, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus extended his hand and caught him, saying, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him with awe-inspiring reverence, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So even in the darkness, when the waves are crashing around, where is our strength? Where is our strength to keep going? Who is our Savior? Who is there? Jesus is there. Truly, he is the Son of God. They worshiped him. Psalm 16:9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory, my innermost self rejoices. My body too will dwell confidently in safety. In those times when we can't see, in those times we can't feel, in those times that we seem like there's no hope, we have this thing in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, this thing called faith. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for, being the proof of things that we do not see. And the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. When we feel like we can't see, when we feel like we can't feel God or we can't see God, he's still there. He's still there. He's still with you. When those times we can't, we don't know what to do, all hope is gone. We say all hope is gone in man's sense. God is still there, reaching out his hand in the darkness to pull you up, to pull you out. The joy of the Lord is your strength, to put your hand up, to keep your eyes on God, to look up and say, save me. I don't know what's going on. Save me. I have no idea what's going on. Save me. I don't know how to talk to this person. Save me. I don't know what's going on. Do as Peter did. Put your hand up. Put your eyes up. Look at to the one who is above. Amen. Amen. Psalm 31, 15. My times are in your hands. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who pursue to persecute me. You know, in Ephesians it says that we fight a battle of spiritual battle of principalities and rulers of the unseen world, and those are our enemies. So my times are in his hands. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies. Who's my enemy? Those things of the unseen world, those principalities, though, the Satan and his minions. Who is our rescuer? Look up. Look up and come alive. Look up and come alive. Psalm 59, 17. To you, O God, my strength, I will sing praises. For God is my stronghold, my refuge, my protector, my high tower. The God who shows me steadfast loving kindness. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the things that the Lord has done for you and where He's bringing you. Joy of the Lord is your strength. John 16:16-24. In those times in your lives when sorrow might come your way, a little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while you will see me. Some of his disciples said one to another, what does he mean when he tells us a little while you will not see me, and again in a little while you will see me, and because I'm going to my Father? So they were saying, what does he mean when he says a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, and he said to them, are you wondering amongst yourselves about what I meant when I said a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? I assure you and most solemnly say to you, that you will weep and grieve in great mourning, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. When a woman, when she is in labor, her pain has pain because her time to give birth has come. But when she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has come into the world. For now you are in grief, but I will see you again, and then your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away from you your great joy. And in that day you will not need to ask me about anything. I assure you, most solemnly say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name as my representative, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked the Father for anything in my name, but now ask, keep on asking, and you will receive so that your joy may be full and complete. So that your joy may be full and complete. Ask, and you shall receive so that your joy may be full and complete. So I asked this question. I said, so what is the Christian faith about? What is the Christian faith about that people need to see? It's not rules. It's not regulations. It's not traditions. It's the relationship that they need to see. And God delights in being in a relationship with us. Thus, we delight in being in a relationship with God. Amen? And what does delight mean? Let me tell you. Great joy. Great joy. I'm going to say great joy. Great joy. So God has great joy in being in a relationship with you. And thus, you should have great joy in being in a relationship with God. And I'm saying all this about joy because just in preparing for today, God gave me two words, joy and dance. I don't know, right? I don't know. But I can know this, you dance because you have joy. Amen? You dance because you have joy that you're with your partner. And there's some song on that you're happy about. And there's something going on that you have this relationship with your partner. And you're so happy, you're so delighted that you have this relationship that you just dance. And in life, who is our partner? God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And that joy should just make you want to dance. I just want to dance. Right? We just want to dance. So I look at the definition of dancing. And there's no structure to dancing. It just says that you move to the beat of music. So if somebody's moving to the beat of their own drum, they're still dancing. And if they're dancing as unto the Lord, then they're dancing because they're joyful in the Lord. Amen? And who am I to say, you don't know how to dance? Just because you're not dancing like me? Just because you're not dancing the two-step or the electric slide or something like that of this world, right? Just because you're not dancing like that, does that mean you're not dancing? No. That means that the song inside of you is making you dance with your partner in the way that you want to dance with your partner. It's so joyful and so delighted in being with your partner that you just dance. That you just dance. The significance of a dance is this. It is predicated by spiritual truth and pleasantness and gladness. So in the Bible times or in ancient times, gladness of heart or what leads to dancing was not only by musical instruments and songs, but it was just what they felt in their heart. How many of you in your heart sometimes hear a song and you just want to dance? For the joys of the heart, the interior joys, bring forth the body into action. For the joy of my heart, for the joy that's on the inside, should bring forth action, thus also into dancing. In ancient times, when people would get excited and they'd celebrate, they'd dance. It's not unlike today. If you went to a wedding, why are you dancing? Because you're happy. You're joyful that this is occurring. Thus, you dance. Because you're happy. Because you're joyful. You're full of delight. I didn't dance with Nina at our wedding just because. I danced because I was excited. I was happy. I was full of joy. We danced because we were happy. We were joyful. We were so involved in a relationship with what we're doing that we got so excited that we just wanted to dance. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah? I know sometimes when you're by yourself, you get so excited and you just dance in the kitchen. Right? Come on now. That's your dance. I might look funny to you, but I don't look funny to my God. For he knows my heart. I'm excited. I'm full of joy. So I'm going to dance a jig. If that means I'm just jumping up and down, I'm excited. I'm going in circles, I'm excited. I'm full of joy. Why? Full of joy for my God. God says this, it's not the purpose that's important of dancing. You don't purpose to dance. If you purpose to dance, there's no heart in it. I'm going to dance. I don't feel anything except I'm worried about if I'm going to step on somebody's toes. Or did I get the steps right? Or am I back straight? Am I honestly up here or down here? Right? But when there's fullness of joy, there is an overflowing of that joy that just makes you just want to break out in some kind of dance. It don't matter what it is. In some kind of action, whether it's whatever, it don't matter. It isn't the purpose that's important. It's the relationship and the joy of the relationship that you're in. That then leads to dance. That joy then leads to your dance. Amen? That joy of a relationship leads to dancing. In the Israelites, in Nehemiah, we talked about it. The joy of the Lord is their strength in that day because they knew that they were saved. So what did they do? They then remembered that day was the day of the Feast of the Booths, right? And so in that day, they celebrated. And who doesn't celebrate without dancing? We celebrate just the little things and we do a little dance. No, don't tell me that you don't. You like something that's on TV? Oh, you're right. Excellent. They danced. They celebrated because the joy of their Lord was their strength. The joy of where their God got them to was their strength to say yes and amen. Yes, yes, Jesus, yes. And ours is the same. Jesus came down, died on the cross for you to be saved. Woo! Joy should now be stricken out because what happens to you? You're saved. You have that salvation. You have that joy of salvation in you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. And David was dancing before the Lord with great enthusiasm. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm not excited or enthused, I don't feel like dancing. If you had a bad day, you feel like going home and dancing? No. So what are we talking about here? Where should our eyes be? At my day or at my God? And my eyes at my God, I'm joyful. I'm joyful that I have the day. I'm joyful that I am where I'm at. I'm joyful. I'm full of joy because I know that my God is my strength to get through what I have to get through. Amen? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight. Take pleasure in Him. And again, I will say, rejoice. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Proverbs 17:22. A happy heart is good medicine. And a joyful mind causes healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. I heard once that a smile is contagious, right? Smiling brings joy. Smiling brings happiness. Smiling brings a happy feeling. A happy heart is good medicine. I heard once that laughter is the best medicine. Anybody heard that before? Why? A happy heart is the best medicine. And a joyful mind causes healing. Romans 8:15-17. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit that we, believers, are children of God. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs. Heirs also of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing in His blessings and in His inheritance. If indeed we share in His suffering, so that we may share in His glory. Where is Jesus now? That's where we're going to be. I said, that's where you're going to be. That's where you're going to be. That's where you're going to be. How much more do you need? That's where you're going to be. If we are believers in Christ, then we take the same inheritance. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Guess where we're going to be? With Him at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. In Him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result, believed in Him, were stamped with a seal by His promised Holy Spirit and owned and protected by God. The Holy Spirit calls you to Christ, confirms your place there, and seals you to that place. The Greek word for sealed means that it's a guarantee. And so you're guaranteed a place in the inheritance by the Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee. You can take it to the bank. It's a guarantee. It's a word that refers to the price of a product. You pay $10, it's a guarantee. There's a guarantee on that. Okay. Jesus paid the price for you. There's a guarantee on that. It's paid in advance. And the guarantee, our guarantee, is forthcoming in the future. Our guarantee is paid. Our guarantee is that it's there. It's there. It's there. If the Holy Spirit seals you and guarantees your place in the kingdom, who can change that seal? Nobody. Who can withdraw the guarantee? Nobody. Nobody. Philippians 1:6 goes good with this. Now, if the Holy Spirit seals you and guarantees your place in the kingdom, who can change that seal or who can withdraw that guarantee? And I'm convinced and sure of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of His return, developing a good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. God, what God begins, He completes. Amen? And at the beginning of this promise, there is completion at the end. Amen? There is completion. Holy Spirit, God, Jesus has sealed you, His heirs. No one can take that away. No one can take you away from that. No one can take that. You belong there. Amen? You belong there. What God begins, He always completes. Whatever He promises, He gives that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. The Holy Spirit seals you and then gives you freedom, gives you liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Nobody can take that away from you. And nobody can tell you that you can't dance. And nobody can tell you that you don't have to have joy. And nobody can tell you that you can be depressed. Nobody can tell you anything, because the Spirit of the Lord is inside of you, and there you are free. Free to be joyful. Free to delight in the Lord. Free to rejoice. Free to dance. Free to be who you are in Him. Amen? Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost or in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not anything of this world. It is of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says that, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence in you, the result of Him stamping you, the result of His presence inside of you is this: love, unselfish concern for others, joy. Joy. It doesn't say depression. It doesn't say sadness. Joy. Joy. And you can read the rest, but I want to stop there. Joy. I mean, there's peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, but joy. And then it says, against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. And if we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, moral courage, our conduct empowering by the Holy Spirit. And by the Holy Spirit, we have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. By the Spirit living inside of you, we have love, we have joy. We can rejoice, we can delight, because we have the Spirit inside of us. We have joy. We're not depressed. We have joy. We're not sad. We have joy. Amen. We have joy. We can rejoice. We can be happy. We can be glad. Amen. Because we have the Spirit on inside of us, and that Spirit has stamped us for approval for the kingdom of God. Amen. We have that joy. And as believers, if we want to reach people, we want to reach the world, you want to lay hands on people and see the sick healed, you want to lay a seed, you want to water the seed, you want to see things grow, then we must show them our love. We must show them our joy. We got to show them our dance. We got to show them out loud why it is we have what we have. It's joy. It's joy. Why? Because that's how we show them our relationship with God. How we navigate life with our partner. Just like you navigate a dance with a partner. You navigate life with a partner, and that's joy. You do that by joy. Our partner is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the three in one, the triune. If we do this, and when we do this, love, joy, live with joy. Joy. It will change people's lives. They're going to wonder, what are you so happy about? Why are you always so joyful? Why are you always rejoicing? And guess what that opens the door to? For you to tell them why. For you to tell them why. Well, here's why. Because I got a God. I got a daddy who takes care of me. And then you will see change in their lives. They will see God. They will see Jesus. They will see the Holy Spirit, and they will come alive like the dry bones in Ezekiel. You speak God into them. You speak God into their lives, and they come alive. Those who were depressed become joyful. Those who were sad become joyful. Those who didn't know how to rejoice will rejoice. Those who don't know how to shout will shout for joy. They'll start to live for God, look to God, look to Jesus, look to the Holy Spirit, and they start to come alive. Let us be like the Israelites in Nehemiah, and let's get our mind off of our stuff and look to God. Look to God. When we read scriptures, when you read scriptures, and I encourage you to read the scriptures, they'll come alive. We're going to read scriptures to help sometimes remind us of where we've been, to remind us of who we are, to remind us of where we come from, to remind us of what we're doing. And sometimes we have to look at those things and be reminded of all that we have gone through to allow us to go forward. Just as the Israelites in Nehemiah, they were being read from the book of the law, which means that they were being read basically their history, reminding them of where they've been and what they have done or what they have not done. And they were weeping. But guess what we get to do? The Holy Spirit and all this stuff, we get to come into their lives and we get to say, hold on. Don't weep. Don't mourn. No more. Be joyful. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Today is the day of celebration. Today is the day that you have been redeemed. Amen? Today is the day of joy to remember and to recognize the goodness, His mercies, His power, that we are His children. To remind us that we have an Abba Father, that we have our Daddy. It's God. It's God. To remind us that it's God who created. To remind us that it's God who set us free. To remind us that it's God who gave us promises and blessings. That He gave us commandments to live by, a standard to live by. It's God who then established that covenant with us. It's God who deals justice. It's God who then reconciles. It's God who redeems. It's God who sent Jesus. It was God who walked among us. It's God who showed us how to live properly. It was God who saved. It was God who descended like a dove on us. It's God who descended like cloven tongues. It's God who was... It's God who taught. It's God who died. It's God who then raised from the dead. It's God who went to hell, got the keys, took them. It's God who did all of these things. It's God who lives inside of you. It's our God. It's our Daddy that is surrounding us in everything that we do and wants to be a part of our life. And wants you to dance with Him. Wants you to be joyful with Him. Wants you to rejoice in Him. It's a call to be like the Israelites, to understand where we come from, but not to dwell in that. To understand that today is the day of celebration. Amen? That today is the day that you're set free. That today is the day that we become a people. That today is the day we have that identity in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. It's today, the day that we call the day of the Lord. That is your day, a day to celebrate, a day to rejoice, each and every day, a day to call that day a celebration day. Amen? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it doesn't matter what day. That day is a day of celebration because we know we are of the Lord. We are saved. We can rejoice and be glad in it. We can dance like David danced. We can dance with enthusiasm. We can shout with enthusiasm. We can talk with enthusiasm. We can be joyful when all is going bad. We can rejoice when all is lost. We can be happy. We can be happy. We can be joyful. We can delight in the Lord. We can be full of joy. Amen. Amen. Let us be like the Israelites, and celebrate, and celebrate. There's always a time to remember. But we can't forget then that there is the time to celebrate. There's a time to remember where you came from. There's a time to remember the things of the past. But that should always spark in you a time of rejoice, a time of celebration, because you are a new person. You have been redeemed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? You have been redeemed by the Holy Spirit. Let's stand. You have been redeemed by the Holy Spirit. Let's stand up right now. You have been redeemed by the Holy Spirit. You have been redeemed by the Holy Spirit. I just want you to close your eyes. You have been redeemed by the Holy Spirit. You have been redeemed by the Holy Spirit. Look to God. Look to God. Look to God. Look to Jesus. Look to God. Look to Jesus. Look to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do something that I want you to close your eyes. I want you to look back 20 years in your life if you can. And compare where you were then to where you are now. Look back 15 years of your life. And look where you were then and where you are now. Look back 10 years of your life, where you were, where you are now. Look back 5 years, and where you were, and where you are now. Look back 1 year, where you were, and where you are. Look back 6 months, where you were and where you are. Ooh, yeah. There was a change that occurred. There was a change that occurred. You became new. You became you became changed. You became a new person because of the inflowing of the Holy Spirit that changed you. Maybe you were angry, and now you're not. Maybe you were addicted to something, and now you're not. Maybe you were into some satanic things, and now you're not. Maybe you realized you were on your pathway to hell, and now you're not. Joy, be stirred up. Joy, be stirred up. Joy, be stirred up. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy that Jesus has changed your life. Joy. Ooh, yeah. Yes. Yes. Jesus. Repeat this with me. I'm going to pursue joy. 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 I'm going to pursue God because it's God who brings joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us be like the Israelites in Nehemiah. Look up to God. and come alive on the inside. Look up to God and come alive. Look up to God and be joyful for what God has done in your life. I'm going to tell you that there's a time to be reverent before the Lord. But there's also a time to dance before the Lord. There's also a time to be joyful to the Lord. Close your eyes and ask yourself, what am I showing the people outside of these walls? Am I showing sadness? Am I showing depression? Or am I showing joy? Am I showing joy? Am I showing cynicism? Am I showing doubt? Am I showing negativity? Or am I showing joy? It's easy to get negative in a negative world, amen? It's easy to be negative in a negative society, but we don't live there. We don't live there. We don't live there. Amen? We don't live there. You don't live in that world. Uh-uh. We are not of this world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to invite anybody who needs prayer, who would like prayer to come up here and receive it. If it's healing that you need in your body, then I'd like you to come up to here with joy and thanksgiving, because God is our healer and God heals. If it's prayer for finances, let's pray for that, the increase. This is the year of increase in all good things. If it's prayer for family members, and we can send that prayer out. And we can know, just as a Roman soldier knew, that when Jesus said it, it was done. And we know that when we say it, it's done. In Jesus' name. But stay in an attitude of prayer. Stay in an attitude of worship. And thank you, Jesus.